But today, I want to talk about DIY life. Do it yourself. Sometimes you really shouldn't. I grew up in, and I remember like the time when like the do-it-yourself was really just like limited to just one show maybe. You know, you had this old house with Norm and those guys, and then Norm had his own show where he'd make stuff. He had that garage with like every possible woodworking tool. You guys know what I'm talking about? And I always loved when he says, now I'm going to make this replica of this antique furniture, and I just happened to be at this home in Boston from the 1700s, and I was able to reclaim some of the wood. And then as you sit in Evansville, Indiana, and you think, I can't do that, right? Or these guys, then they had the couple that was the home show, and they would do things. Like, they actually built, like, a house one season. Obviously, they were not a real couple. They just played one on TV. And now it's like entire networks, not just one, but multiple networks of this stuff is do it yourself, right? And then you get on the internet and you have Pinterest, which for some households is like a cuss word. If you don't know what Pinterest is, guys, it's when your wife stares at her phone for 6 to 8 hours and the next night you have salad in a mason jar for dinner. Or if your wife starts collecting old shipping pallets, she might be on Pinterest. But this craze of do it yourself. Now, if you're like me, when I first saw this picture, and I chose this graphic for a very specific reason, because this explains, no, go back, this one, they're right there. That explains how I do most of my projects. It's kind of like whatever tool I have in my hand, that's what we're going to use. Everything's a hammer. And anything can be a crowbar. Sometimes you need both. But I want to give a couple of examples. I'm going to run through a couple of pictures here of what happens when some of us do the do-it-yourself. Now, this first picture is when you've had that youth group over too many times and they've wore out your couch. So, you put the chair in the empty hole there. Sometimes you realize that probably is not going to work. Sometimes you buy new furniture, but when you bring it home, you have to assemble it yourself, and then it looks something like this next picture. I thought maybe this is one of those new ergonomic seats that keeps you balanced, and I don't know. It's got those really cool handrails, though. Just sometimes we just don't know what we're doing, and sometimes you just kind of make do, and you do projects, and it's like, you know what, I just need to do whatever it takes to get through today. So for example, when the handle breaks on your shower, sometimes you do this. And I like how we got the extension on the wrench so that you could turn it on outside and not get wet. It's very innovative. And speaking of showers, the next thing that probably happens most is the shower head. It always breaks, like right there when you're getting ready to go to work. You need to apparently use a Mountain Dew bottle. I think he drank the Mountain Dew or a whole case of them before he did this. I'm impressed with the tape job. If I had done that, like it would be spraying all over the place. But home improvement, the do-it-yourself is not just related to just home stuff. Sometimes, guys, we get a little inventive and we have things that break down in our cars. And you ever had that the knob on your heater break? This guy here, he fixed it a pretty handy way. That one's not too bad. That one's not too bad. But sometimes it's stuff on the outside, like, you know, when you just don't have time to stop and get you a new windshield wiper, sometimes you do this. It's not working. The amazing thing is, it's not, you know, it's a BMW, so that's a lot of money. Now, before we share this next picture, I want to set it up. I wasn't sure if this was the a family with a teenage driver or someone who took a car to, they switched countries. But this was, I thought, very innovative in this next one here. I kind of like the teenage driver idea because she could be driving, but you still have the brake and the gas, which is always the difficult part, right? But sometimes it's not just cosmetic stuff. Sometimes we need to, because we just got to get places and your car breaks down. And apparently sometimes like your entire wheel may fall off. So what do you do? Well, here's one example of what you can do. So if you have a dolly, apparently a dolly can be substituted for a rear car tire. Now, I don't know how these people are driving down the road, right? Now, this last one, before we show this last one, I want to tell you that there are some people who just, they have, kind of like gardeners have a green thumb, some DIY people, they have a black and blue thumb. I don't know what color that their thumb is, but some of them are just really ingenious. Now, before we show this next picture, I just want to picture, it's Texas, and it's really hot. No, it's not bad about Texas. It's just really hot. You know, that 100 and plus, and the air conditioner in your car goes out. What could you possibly do? Well, the next time you find yourself in this situation, take a hint from this guy right here. I'm impressed with the, not just that he used the window air conditioner, but he used the generator. That, I don't know how many miles to the gallon he gets on the generator, but that person in the back seat is really cold. Now, if you are just, you know, bored someday and you just really have, I don't know, a few hours to kill, let me encourage you, just Google up DIY fails or fix it fails. And there are literally thousands. I didn't even show you some of the best ones. There's just some that boggle the mind. Now, the amazing thing to me was, like this picture right here, I'm like, wow, that guy really thought outside the box to do this. But if you Google up wall air conditioner and car, you will find hundreds of examples of these. Now, I don't know if they copied each other. Somebody saw that and goes, that's a really great idea. Babe, I got a way to fix your car. But there's just literally just hundreds and hundreds of different examples. Some of the ones, and I didn't show it, but I really liked was a couple of them, the sinks. This was bathroom stuff. The sink, rather than the drain going into the wall, I guess the clog, the pipe got clogged, they turned it so that it went into the toilet. There's just random stuff. Or the guy who had there was one that had a toilet sitting in the bathroom, but the door didn't, you know, open, so he actually cut a hole in the door so that it would swing and miss the commode. That's why my dad always said, you measure twice and cut once, right? Or for some of us, we don't measure and we cut two or three times. But DIY, do it yourself. It's all the craze and it always just is just wonderfully works out on TV, because you don't see the crew of like 20 professionals that are coming behind on the commercial break. Because the guy, they always have the couple and they're like, oh, this has been great. Yeah, right. We do this, and we think it's awesome, and it is amazing. And hey, guys, you can save us money, and it's all these things. And some of y'all are very talented to do that. But when it comes to our life and the mess that we make of it, guys, we can't do it. We need a professional. I want to start in Isaiah 64, verse 6, and talk about the project. Because that's where it always starts, right? It always starts with your wife or your husband, somebody standing in a room and looking around and going, you know, I have an idea. And if we start with this project, we need to understand where we're at. Isaiah 64, 6 says this, all of us have become like one who is unclean. All of our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf. And like the wind, our sins sweep us away. That's where we're at. Without Christ in our life, that's the project. Now, I am always amazed at the vision that some people have. One of the shows that we like to watch as a family is You Live in What? Question mark, because they go into places that are like, you know, like a grain silo or missile silo or used to be a fried chicken place. Crazy things, and they turn them into homes. Somebody went into this building that was one thing and had this idea for a totally different thing. They totally renovate, but they start off and they show these pictures, and I look at that and I think that place should have been torn down. And that's where each and every one of us starts at. Paul writes that we are all sinned and we all fall short of the glory of God. Our project is a big hot mess. That's how every one of us starts off. But with Christ as our general contractor and an overall professional and design layout, he can totally make us new. And he does it in an amazing process. Romans 6:4 gives us the idea of that process. It says, we are therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of our Father, we too may live a new life. So the project is that we have all sinned, and our best, our righteousness, what we would think as our best in life, the nicest thing we've ever done, nicest thing we've ever said, is nothing but filthy rags. And in the original language, it is even more descriptive. It is more understanding and descriptive of the uncleanness of what it is. It is absolutely the most disgusting thing that you can think of. That's as good as we can get. But Jesus has a process for us to come out of that. We are therefore buried, it says, with him through baptism. See, here's the problem. Our project, our flesh, our sin has to be killed. It has to be destroyed. It's the process when you watch the show, when the people come in and they kind of take the husk of the building and they go in and they start taking out all of the old stuff. And you know how they peel back the wall and they're like, oh, there's mold. And they bring up, they take out the old plumbing and it's like, oh, you can't use this stuff. It's got lead poisoning. You can't pull out the wiring and it's the wrong wiring. Everything. It's got to be just gutted. And that's exactly how Jesus Christ does us. Now, the outside of us is still the same, right? We accept Christ. There are those of us who have accepted Christ. We didn't get a makeover on the outside. Dang it. Right? Good news, guys. One day we get that one. I'll be interested in that one. Get some new eyes and ears and lungs. Some of us get better hair or get hair. Get thinner. I don't know what it's going to be. Who knows? We might be all 4 foot tall, bald, and 300 pounds. I don't know. God's going to be like, that was my idea of beauty. And we're like, dang, we've been wasting all this time at the gym for nothing. I don't know, but God has got this thing on the inside of us right now. He wants to take out our old heart. David in Psalm says, he says, create in me a new heart, O Lord. Because our old one is just corrupt. There's nothing good about it. It cannot do good. It's got black mold. It's got the wrong plumbing. It's got the wrong wiring. It's got to be taken out. There's got to be some demolition. The outside of us looks the same, but the insides are changed. And we do that through our belief in Jesus Christ and identifying with Him and His death. Because He killed the flesh, He killed the body, and He died to sin on our behalf so that we may live. And it says, just as Christ was raised from the dead for the glory of the Father, we too have new life. That is an awesome renovation. And I don't know if you guys have caught this. There's a commercial out right now of, I think it's for a credit card, and they're talking about, wouldn't it be nice if we always said the honest things to each other? And the one is that they're at the house, and the contractor comes in, and he says, hey, I'm going to tear this wall down. It's unnecessary. It's going to add about 6 months to your project and cost three times as much. And they're like, that's great. And the husband says, I'm just going to nod my head and agree with you as though I know what you're talking about, so that later when my wife asks, I'll go just trust him. Thank God we don't have that kind of contractor. We don't have a God who comes in and takes out just the fluff, who does things just to be doing stuff. He does it for a reason and on purpose. Now, the other thing I always am amazed about in some of these projects is the husband or wife. Somebody has some attachment to some either item or room in the house, and they're like, everything else can be changed but this. And we do the same thing, don't we? Oh, yes, Jesus, please come in. Oh, I would love a makeover. Yes, please come in. Clean me out from the inside out. We sing about it. We pray about it. We talk about it in the scriptures. Oh, yes. Except this one place, this one room, this one area in my life, please leave it alone. But if we therefore are buried with Him, when we get buried with Him, when we identify with His death, it is 100% of us or nothing. I've never been to a funeral where somebody was almost dead. But we do that all the time, don't we? We're all guilty of it. This one part, God, just leave it alone. Please, can I still hang on to this? I know it's rotten. I know it's no good, but the rest of it I will bury with you, I will put in with you, and I will have new life, and I will take everything else, renovate it, but I just want to hang on to this. But God wants all of it. That's the process. But there's a promise that goes along with it. And Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 says this, "It is by grace that you have been saved through faith." That's the process of being buried and rose again someday and given new life is salvation. And he's writing here, Paul is in Ephesians saying, it is by grace that you have received this salvation, by faith. And I love how he says this, not from yourselves, it's not do it yourself. There is no do it yourself salvation. And that's one of the things that separates Christianity from most of the other religions of the world. In fact, all of them. It is impossible to us to do something worthy for salvation. Instead, Paul writes, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast, for we are God's handiwork. Now, if you've ever hired a contractor or not, but one of the things that I always think is nice if I've ever interviewed a contractor is when they come in and they bring a portfolio. Now, in the old days, they may have actual pictures, like in a three-ring binder, and a lot of times today they come in, they have it on their iPad, but they say, here is previous customers, and here is the final product. Here's what I did. I took their old house and I made it new. I took this thing that they were about to ready to demolish, and I gave them this new place. isn't it wonderful? Here's the contact information. You reach out to them, verify that I really did the work, and it is good work. God has a portfolio, and if we are a believer in Jesus Christ, our life is in that portfolio. He wants to use us. That's what we call a testimony. We're the ones who sell it. We're the ones who tell others about it. Look at what we were. Remember a few weeks ago I said, ABC 234. You guys totally remember that still, right? It's all because of Christ. Two stories, mine with three parts, his with four. Who I was before, how I met him, and how my life has changed since then. By the way, when I told my story about how he continues to save me, just this week, I was pulling out an intersection. A car apparently did not see their red light, came to a stop about 2 feet from my car. I was on a way to a prayer meeting. I was praying right then. God continues to save us. Now, that is a physical salvation, but there is a continual spiritual renewal and salvation every day. He has us in his portfolio because we are his handiwork. We are his image of what he's taken and said, this was dry bones and is now alive. This was a rotten out corpse and it is now a beautiful, righteous, heaven-bound person. How would we want somebody to come in and see our life? To see that you did it? Or see that God did it? Now, could you imagine that if we brought somebody in, and let's just use the example because most of us know it, the couple that's in Texas right now, that they continually do these wonderful projects where they take homes and they renovate them. You guys know who I'm talking about, right? See, I don't even have to tell you their name. You guys all know them. If they were to do a project, and they're amazing, they literally do go into homes. That the certificate's on the door. We're going to tear this place down. Nope, we're going to make it into something brand new. If they did that work, and then they went and interviewed the new homeowner, and the homeowner bragged about how he or she did it. Oh, yeah, I remember bringing in the extra supports here so we could tear down walls. Or I remember decorating it this way. Yeah, that was me. But you knew it wasn't? What would be the reputation of those homeowners? Guys, there's nothing we did, nothing we do. We can't take any credit for what God did. It's all on him. We're his handiwork. Do we have responsibilities? Absolutely. Afterwards is to go tell others about what God has done. He created us for good works. The next verse actually says that because he has things that he wants us to tell other people. We are his handiwork. We have a job to go and share with them. God can do it with you too. That's the good news. It's not us. Well, this do-it-yourself life is not worth doing. We have to leave it over to Christ, and Christ will do it for us, and he gives us new life. And there's actually quite a few benefits and perks for him coming in as our contractor to redo our life. Here are a few of them. Number one, there is a promise of eternal life, John 14, verses 2 and 3. Eternal life. That's a long time warranty. I don't know if you've built a house ever before. The only time we've ever had a house built, the builder gave us a 5-year warranty, and we thought that was pretty good. But can you imagine an eternal warranty? You get eternal life. This is good forever, guys. You once were dead, you're now alive. You will never be dead again. Here's the good news. We receive this eternal life for free, Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, the free gift of God, is salvation. There is absolutely nothing that we could do to earn it. There's nothing we can do to keep it. It is a gift, and it is forever free. Now, God knows that we are going to continually mess up because we're human beings and we haven't yet been made perfect. We still have flesh and we still have mistakes and we still do things that are not right. But here's the great news. We have an advocate. We have a champion before God, according to 1 John 2:1. He stands before God day and night. And anytime the old accuser comes at us, that's the devil, and tries to throw things up. Oh, did you see your guy? Did you see your girl? Did you see what they did? Jesus brings his portfolio out again and goes, don't you remember? I made them righteous, and they still are. He is our champion, our advocate. And because of that, we are pardoned from punishment, John 5:24. Wages of sin is death. It is eternal punishment. But we are pardoned from that punishment. Do you know what a pardon does? It's not just a get out of jail free card. It means it has never happened. Because of that, we are no longer condemned, Romans 8:1. We are no longer condemned. So if you keep bringing up your past, I'm not talking about other people. I'm talking about you. And we all know our sins. We all know the sin that's in that room that we won't let anyone else see. We all know the one that we were there, even if no one else was. That cannot condemn you. And you need to turn it over to Heavenly Father because He wants to renovate that room just as much as He renovated the rest of your life. You cannot hang on to that. Because what that is an anchor of deception and sin that's just weighing you down. Instead, we should know that we have an anchor of hope. Hebrews 6:19 says this, that we have an immovable, unchangeable anchor in hope in Jesus Christ. And that's the kind of anchor. It doesn't weigh us down and hold us back. It's the anchor that is like the rock, and it says that the winds come. It's the kind of anchor that when a hurricane like Matthew comes through and everything else is blown away in your life, that it is still hanging on because you have that rock, you have that hope in Jesus Christ. That's the anchor that we have. Guys, we should be able to stand. Though the rest of the world come against us, though mountains may fall and oceans may come up and rise up against us, it does not matter. We have hope in Jesus Christ. And we have the hope because we are now His children, John 1:12. We are children of God. Children of God. And as children, we are heirs with Christ, Romans 8:17. Now, that means that everything that Christ was given and offered from God, we also will share in. Yeah, we get the world. Yeah, we get the whole kit and caboodle of all that, but we get righteousness and holiness and forgiveness. And we get to be in the presence of our Holy Father for all eternity. We are heirs with Christ. And we are new. Many of us know this, 2 Corinthians 5:17, that if we are in Christ, we are a new creation. The old is gone. It's gone. That's good news. And how about this for renovation? 1 Corinthians 5:16, we are now the temple of God's Spirit. If you go back and I won't go into the great detail, but if you go back, and I challenge you to kind of look it up sometime, what the temple looked like. Solomon's temple. A man who had his height, $600 billion a year in gold. He held back nothing in preparing God's home. And the very presence of God dwelled there and lived there. And now he exchanged that for you and I. I want you to look around this room. Look to your left, look to your right, look around. These are the temples of God. I know some of you are like, we need a renovation. This is just the outside, guys. Inside, holiness, righteousness, purity. Guys, we went from being dead corpses to temples of God. If he can do that, if that's the kind of contractor, if that's the kind of person, or that's the kind of ability that he has for us as people, why would any person ever think that they should do it themselves? Now, I can do some projects. And they kind of get done. But then when a master carpenter or a master electrician or a master plumber comes and does it, and you're like, oh yeah, that's the way it was supposed to be. And I need to just step back and let them do their job. We need to do that with God. There's only one way we can do that, and that is we have to submit ourselves to him. And here's how that works. As I mentioned earlier, we are all a big hot mess. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But as we heard earlier, the good news is that the gift of Christ is free of grace and mercy and forgiveness. There's nothing we can do to get it. We have to just accept it. And for many of you, you have. For many of us, we have given our life to him, and he is our Savior, and he is our Lord. But for some of you, it may have not happened yet. So let me just lead us, if we can, all bow our heads. And I want to say a prayer. And if you've never prayed a prayer, I want you to pray a prayer like this. Heavenly Father, I know that I have sinned. I know that there's nothing I can do to fix me. And I trust in your Son, Jesus Christ, as the only way. I accept your free gift of grace, of mercy, of salvation. And I ask that he come into my life and make me new today. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Guys, if you have never prayed that prayer, but today you did, I want to encourage you to please find myself or Jeremy or one of the elders, and we want to talk with you and we want to celebrate with you about that, making that decision. I want to transition into next week. Starting next week, we're going to do a series of looking at the kingdom of God. As we ended the story of Acts, at the very end, Paul was recorded in Acts 28 as saying that he spent his time teaching on the kingdom of God and Jesus Christ. So we're titling this series Refocus, because we're going to refocus our vision of heaven, of God's kingdom here on earth, of what it looks like, of how we interact with one another, how we interact with the world. And I'm not going to tell you some details, but I just want to encourage you, just kind of give you a heads up. Next week when you come in, we're going to have a different kind of service. It's going to be good, but it'll be different. When you come in next week, I'm just going to give you a heads up, because I don't want you to walk in and go, somebody left the chairs in the wrong way. We're going to be adjusting the chairs. It's not going to be stage focus. I'm just going to tell you that. Next week is not stage focus. There's going to be a different worship experience. Because we want to refocus our vision. And we start by changing our idea of who we are and what the church looks like. That's all I'm going to say. It's tease you. You don't want to miss next week. Guys, be blessed. Go this week. Share the good news that God can change. He is a great contractor. Tell people to quit doing it themselves. Let Him change them. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.